Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery. Now, I was going to have a guest this afternoon, but she had to cancel. That's okay, because there are some things that I wanted to talk about anyway. Stacey, are you there?
I am.
Good. We're going to talk about a few things. Before we do, I want to start, like I always do, with a prayer. And just with the admonition for everybody that listens to this show, to get through the problems that debilitate you, you have to seek God. You have it. The author of change is Almighty God through His Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that can bring people out of the cesspool of things that debilitate them. And you know, if you're listening, that your life is a mess. And you don't just need a little bit, you need a lot. If you need just a little bit of help, go listen to Tony Robbins. He can help you, you know, change 2-3% if that's all you need. But if your life is in negative numbers and you need real transformation, then this is the stuff that you need to listen to. And you need to seek Almighty God and not just what is the collective will of the higher power of the meeting that you're going to. That's just group consciousness. It'll help some. Don't get me wrong. And it's better than nothing. But if you want your life to have purpose and meaning and really count, you've got to talk to the Lord. He's the only one that has the real power to change it. All right. Now, this is a prayer about fear. And I think in our society, fear is more prevalent than at any time in my life, probably not as prevalent as the generations immediately preceding that had to face Hitler and the Japanese in World War II, with all the millions upon millions of people who died in that conflict, or the generation that went through the Great Depression. Those folks had it worse than we have right now, but you know what? We're gaining on it. So fear is a big deal, and that's what this prayer is about, and the title of it is. And it's on my blog, Pushing Jesus. You can, you know, these things are read in 120 different countries, so you can go on anytime you want and take a look at that. When fear grips your soul, Father, sometimes I'm so afraid, my skin grows cold and I can hardly breathe. I feel so helpless, adrift and all alone. I'm afraid of so many things, of people, of places, of being isolated. I fear death and economic insecurity. To me, the list seems endless, and I am powerless to calm my fears. They rob me of sleep and of my serenity. Without your help, without your intervention, I fear catastrophe and total destruction will be my destiny and my lot in life. I'm so consumed by my fears. It's hard for me to hear your voice, which surely would reassure me. In my heart, I know you are my refuge, my strength, and my fortress, and that I can rely on you completely. In you I am safe and sheltered from the storm which threatens every aspect of my being. Help me to stand tall and not to shrink away cowering. Calm my fears and teach me to face them confidently, knowing your purpose is greater than my misgiving. I want to talk a little bit about the very end of that prayer. Help me stand tall and not to shrink away cowering. Calm my fears and teach me to face them confidently, knowing your purpose, God, is greater than my misgiving. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about some things that Christians are fearful of in our society. We were going to talk about what it's like to live with a narcissist, and I guess in one sense we'll be talking a little bit about that because it's what it's like to live in a society that is ruled by a narcissist, which is exactly what I believe is happening in the United States of America, in the person of Barack Hussein Obama, who has a bare minimum a narcissistic personality disorder, and perhaps worse. All right. The agenda for this time is making gay marriage normal. And that is what there have been elections in 32 different states. And when it's a referendum put in front of the people for an actual vote, it loses every single time. So when people lose the popular vote, what do? They go to court. It's been winning in some courts. A good example of that is the state of Massachusetts, where it's legal for gays to get married. And yet, when it was put on the ballot, it lost in Massachusetts, which is the most liberal state of the union, next to perhaps Hawaii or California. Lost. Now, and the reason that I'm bringing this up today is even though, it was in the court and argued before the Supreme Court last week, on the cover of Time magazine is a picture of two guys making out. Now, they have an alternative cover, which is two women making out. Why they have the one and not the other, why they have two covers, I don't know. Probably because it doesn't bother guys when they see two hot women make out. But it definitely bothers guys when they see two guys making out. It just does. Now, for people of faith, we are homophobic. We're out of touch with reality. We're on the wrong side of history. We're just this, that, and the other. And it's because we hate gay people, which is not true. We have the Judeo-Christian heritage, which is 5,000 years old, and it has never been anything other than one man and one woman at a time. I mean, Stacey, if you've been on Facebook and seen all of the people with their equal signs and all of the things, and isn't this terrible about, gay marriage? I mean, that people would be against it. And how could anybody be against something that is so fundamentally fair? as gay marriage? I mean, have you seen the thing?
I have.
It's pretty amazing to me. It essentially says that if you are against this, you're an unfair, unloving, unkind person who is judgmental. Now, there's some things that people don't think about. And you know, I talked a little bit about this on my political show yesterday, but it just has me to where I think that it absolutely needs to be addressed, and I'm going to do it. There are things that people haven't taken into consideration. The only thing they think is it's just if two people are loving, they should be able to be married. Well, what if four people are loving? Three men and one woman, or one guy and three women, that's probably a more likely scenario. If they're truly loving, why can't they do it? Why can't one woman and two guys? It's the same thing. It just doesn't, and there are other things about this. I think of the cost factor. Nobody thinks of this, but the average life expectancy of a gay man is 20 years less than a straight man. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I don't doubt it.
Well, I looked it up. And why would that be? Why would gay men, their average life expectancy be, a straight man is 76 years, just a month or two under. And a black straight man is like 6 months less than that. So if you're black or white and you're a man, you're going to live, your average age will be close to 76. Now, if you're a gay man, that's 56. Why would that be?
Well, the AIDS virus, the anal cancer rate, and the stress of living that lifestyle.
I'd say that's exactly right. I'm going to be very honest with people here. It's because all kinds of disease comes from anal intercourse. It's because it wasn't made for it.
Exactly.
It seems to me that, if God were going to do something, he might have put a little tattoo on little boys' buttocks that says exit only. Because that's the purpose. And it's where bacteria is eliminated from the body.
There's no natural source of lubrication. It just wasn't meant to be.
Well, that's true. Yes, and because there's always bleeding, and that puts things into the bloodstream, and that's where the infections come from. And there are opportunistic diseases that have been all but eliminated that have come back, like tuberculosis and several others. That make this very tough. All right, now, that means if this is law, that the survivor would get survivor benefit starting at 55. That'll break the bank. We can't afford it.
No.
No, I haven't heard. Have you heard anybody say this?
What, that we can't afford it?
about the cost financially of this.
Oh, nobody wants to address that. I guess we're just going to print more money.
Well, you know, it's because it's to go against this juggernaut of public opinion that is forced upon us, but not by votes of people, but by the liberal left and the media and Christian people who are not willing to take a stand for, you know, for what they're doing. It's really tough. Now, I'm going to hear something else that's going to happen. Can you, let's say that this goes through, and that gays are, you know, that it's legalized throughout America for gays to be married. All right, now, Lance and Tony go to First Baptist Church of Lugawissi, Georgia, and they say, we want to get married. And the Baptist preacher there said, well, you know, this is a Christian church, and we do not recognize that, and I will not marry you. So what would George and Lance do? They take the pastor to court and say, if he isn't willing to abide by the law, then he shouldn't be able, and marry us, then he shouldn't be able to marry Jim and Sally. The whole thing of marriage is just going to go on down the tube. It's a really bad idea at all kinds of levels. And let me just tell you one other. The only group in America that is going to benefit from this are divorce lawyers. Because as soon as gay marriage is the law of the land, then the divorce of gays is going to be unbelievable, because it's not a lifestyle, honestly, that's conducive to lifetime commitment. I mean, it's not unusual for a gay man to have several hundred sex partners per year, different. So, those are some of the things that that, you know, I saw this Time magazine cover that is, well, you know, gay marriage is one. Well, they want to sell magazines. I get that, and it's a liberal magazine, I understand that also. But it's like, this is progress, and it is put forward that anybody who is against this is against progress, and that just simply isn't true. I'm going to let you talk for a minute or two now, because I want, you know, I've just been kind of like going after this, and I'm beginning to feel like I'm Rush Limbaugh. Go ahead.
Well, I agree. And you know, Jeff, first of all, we have to have a standard to live by. We choose in this country, and our country was founded on religious freedom, the Judeo-Christian beliefs. And you know what? If they want to live together, that's one thing. But my Bible tells me that that lifestyle is an abomination. And back when I was younger, I had a friend who was in that lifestyle, and I loved him deeply. Well, the more I got to know that lifestyle, I was absolutely appalled and chose to end my relationship because the lifestyle was, it was shocking to think that human beings live like that.
Well,
and it is an abomination. It is not normal. It is not what God created our bodies for. And there again, I demur to A man and a man cannot procreate. A woman and a woman cannot procreate. And essentially, that's what sex was created for. It is totally against everything in nature and everything I stand for.
This is a full frontal assault on sanctity of the marital relationship, which here we're talking about it. Neither one of us are married, you know. And I agree with you. I don't care if gay men live with each other. I don't care if lesbians live with each other. I mean, you know, they're going to do it anyway. I have no problem with it. I do have a problem with it being legalized and normalized, because it's not normal. And if it's legal, we can't afford it, number one. And number two, it's going to end up adversely impacting regular people who want to get married, because pastors aren't going to end up marrying them, because they won't marry gay people. Not Christian pastors. Now, there's some that will. I mean, there may be quite a few that will. But there are going to be most of them that certainly will not. And the reason that they won't is very good. Fear of God. It's clear in God's word that is wrong. There's no wiggle room on this one.
No.
There isn't any, well, this could be interpreted this way as versus that. No. It's quite a few places. And it isn't just in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament also.
Absolutely.
Particularly in Romans 1 and Galatians 5. I mean, it's black and white there. And this isn't the same thing as civil rights. And quite honestly, the black clergy gets up in arms and are furious that it's equated with it, because there's nothing that's abnormal about being black. I mean, you know, you're born white, you're born black, you're born yellow, whatever you're born. It's normal. Nothing wrong with it. God loves everybody the same and died for everybody regardless of what color they are, period. That's clear. That's what makes us all equal. But there is, and there are people that will put up the argument that, you know, that people are born gay. I don't believe that, but I do know that there are people that, you know, really have a hard time with that, and that's sad. But the gay population in America is 3%, and accommodating this aberration is going to bring down the other 97%, perhaps as far as crashing completely to the ground. And I wanted to say that. I believe it. And to not stand for those principles, which are clear in the scriptures, clear in God's word, is something that, if you are a believer, you need to do. This should be something that is a no-brainer for the 50 million people who claim to be born again. And certainly, the Roman Catholic and Orthodox populations are adamantly opposed to it. They do a much better job, frankly, than the Protestants. The opposition to this should be strong and firm and immovable, and at the same time repudiating the claim that we are nothing but bigots, because it isn't true. And it's like, you're homophobic, you hate gay people. Well, you know, people can say that all they want, but it isn't true. I'm just not willing to make right wrong and wrong right and say it's okay, because I fear God more than I fear the administration of Barack Hussein Obama. What do you think?
I agree with you 100%. And I think the time is coming where we have to, or it's here, we have to stand up for what we believe in. Apathy is going to lead us right down the path to destruction. And if you study civilizations, you'll see it.
Well,
we have to have morals to live by. Otherwise, we're animals.
I find it very hard to understand how Christian people can remain on the sidelines. From my perspective, it's they're fearful of the repercussions of those who support this radical gay agenda. And the whole idea that this is the end of it is nonsense, because it will get to the point where, you know, well, if you don't define it as one man, one woman, then if it can be two men or two women, then it can also be multiples.
Well, Jack, whatever happened to the word perversion, sodomy? These words are well defined.
Well, see, that's the whole thing, is that that they want this word, they want what they do to not be perversion, to not be called perverted. When they urinate on each other, they call it golden shower. And that's something that people don't even know happens, but it happens a lot. And for there's some kind of thrill out of that. What it is, I don't know. But that isn't something I don't believe any woman would allow a man to do.
Absolutely not.
Or and no man's going to do that to a woman either. I mean, excuse me, any woman do it to a man either. How this, you know, golden shower has become normalized in that community is beyond me. But that's not the worst of it. The worst of it, of course, is the anal intercourse that produces all of the bacterial infections, or the viruses, and, you know, the HIV virus being the worst by far. And right now it's being checked a good bit, but it's like a moving target. The virus will change, and what they're using to stop it will cease to work until they find something else, because viruses do that. And just in the same way that a flu virus does, they get, you know, by the time they get a vaccination for it, it's changed and they've got a new strand. It's the same thing with HIV. So this is going to be a continuous problem. We're out of time with this, and I really somewhat digressed from what we normally do, but I mean to tell you, you cannot just say, I'm looking to God, and then just do whatever you dadgum well please. I mean, it does not work, and you cannot recover at the level that you need to unless you look to him as the source of leadership, and his rules are the rules at work. We're out of time, so let me just say God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.